Tiny Tone.
You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Caperso, our head of international economics. Joe, good to have you on.
It's great to be back.
Now, we were just reminiscing about 12 months ago when the pandemic was really starting to heat up. We saw financial markets begin to be impacted. Us economists started to think about how on earth the economy was going to be impacted. Now, today we are going to talk about central banks, but you reminded me of something the US Federal Reserve Chief said 12 months ago.
That's right. I can clearly remember, like it was just the other day. It was Saturday morning, Sydney time. I was looking through my email for a little while, and then I was just about to put the phone back when I noticed there was an email from the Fed. And I thought, hang about, this is quite late in the afternoon in US time. So I opened it and it was a very short four-line press release by Jay Powell emphasising how the medium-term fundamentals for the US economy were sound. And I thought, that's a bit of an odd thing to say. And then the upshot meant that in the medium term, things are fine, but in the short term, things are going to be very bumpy. And of course, that's exactly
what
it was.
Yes, and so 12 months ago was really when we started to see central banks take very aggressive action in terms of easing monetary policy, taking the cash rate down to zero if it wasn't already there. Of course, the Fed did take some very aggressive action, re-embarking on bond purchase programs.
Yes.
But 12 months on, if you just looked at what the bond market is thinking at the moment, you'd be forgiven for thinking central banks were going to start tightening.
Yeah, that's probably premature. More or less every central banker, there are a few exceptions, but more or less all of them are saying, where's the effect of we're not ready to go down that path? The economy, the labour market, inflation, they're a long way from where we want them to be. And in a lot of cases, there's been an important shift in the thinking of central banks. So, for example, some of them will place more weight on inflation outcomes rather than forecasts of inflation, employment and economic activity. So that's a really important differential.
It is, and that's certainly the case here in Australia where the Reserve Bank has made that distinction very clearly in their statements. But before I guess we get more into what the current outlook for central banks are, as I said, markets at the moment, particularly in the bond market, yields have been lifting, are starting to pricing an economic recovery. So it'll be, as you say, a fair way off before central banks start tightening. When they do, how will central banks tighten policy?
Well, look, there are several steps to go before they even start talking about it. First of all, the labour market and inflation have got to increase a lot closer to targets. And for more or less every economy, their labour market indicators are a long, long way from where they want them to be. So full employment is quite a long way away. The other thing is that central banks first need to slow the expansion of their balance sheet. So that's quantitative easing or money printing, if you like. Now, slowing the expansion of their balance sheet is not tightening. It's loosening, just at a slower rate. Once they go through that process, and they haven't even started that yet, eventually, central banks will then start to shrink their balance sheet. So that is really the first of the tightening processes. Some central banks may also remove the targets on their medium or long-term interest rates, like the Bank of Japan, for example, has one on the 10-year. The RBA has one on the 3-year. And then only after all of that is done, and the central banks see that inflation is where they want it to be, then only And only then will they start increasing their policy interest rates. And it's got to be a very slow process, I think, in most countries, just because it's been such a long period of very low inflation, they've got to be careful that inflation expectations don't fall.
Yeah, so they obviously are watching inflation expectations quite closely, and we will come back to that important topic in a minute. Now, there's obviously also at the moment, there's been very aggressive fiscal policy action,
yes,
and still some to come, particularly in the US.
That's right.
President Biden still looking at doing his very large fiscal stimulus package there. How do we need to consider the relationship between monetary policy and fiscal policy when thinking about the outlook for central banks?
Yeah, it's really important, and I think it often gets forgotten as like the sort of the poorer cousin of policy, but it's not anymore. Mm. It really is preeminent now. So fiscal policy is really just government spending and government taxes. So they can shift that around to try and support or slow the economy. Now, fiscal policy will play a role in central banks' decisions just because their government's decisions have been so big.
Mm.
So, for example, in the US, fiscal expansion is going to be something in the order of 25% of 1 year's economic activity. That is absolutely
huge.
It wasn't that many years ago when we thought 2% was a big deal. So 25% is a very, very big deal.
And really shows you the change in mindset out there in markets about the lifting debt at the moment.
That's right. But particularly from the government side, yes, of government debt, much less so for corporates. And I think households are only just starting to re-gear up, particularly in this country.
Yes.
So, look, some governments, the US, as you pointed out, Belinda, and also Japan, they are actively trying to implement another large fiscal package to pump prime their economy. And I think the United States is probably the one government where they're at risk of overdoing it.
Mm.
So, and from what we can tell, the US government looked back at the Obama era where they thought that they didn't do enough.
Yes.
And now I think they're at risk of making another error, which is a potentially doing too much. But Janet Yellen, who's head of the Treasury, only just overnight came out and said, no, there's very little risk of that happening.
It's interesting, obviously, I think history is playing an important role in central bank thinking at the moment.
That's right.
Obviously, post the European sovereign debt crisis in 2012, 2013, there was probably too much done too quickly, particularly on the fiscal policy side.
That's
so
right.
They're erring on the side of caution. Now, what about the impact of rising asset prices? I think there's been talk of the lifts in the share market and other asset prices. Housing, for example, is one of them.
Yes.
How is that impacting on central bank thinking?
Look, it's central banks, no matter how many times they say, but markets don't seem to sort of sink in, is that one of the important transmission mechanisms of easy monetary policy is higher asset prices.
And the wealth effect that comes with that.
Exactly right. So central banks would be worried if they didn't see higher asset prices. The fact that they are reinforces to them that they're doing the right policy and it's having the right impact. Now, granted, there have been some concerns about bubbles in various markets, in various economies, but central banks are not going to have asset prices hijack monetary policy. Monetary policy is focused on inflation and full employment, and they're not going to look elsewhere.
Now, you just said that central banks do focus on inflation, and there certainly has been more chatter in financial markets and from economists lately about potential for higher inflation down the track because of all that stimulus coming through and an improvement in the economy. We're probably at the moment a bit more relaxed about the inflation outlook because we still have such a large output gap in economies. But are central banks concerned about inflation, and does particular types of inflation matter? Demand pull versus cost push, what's the current thinking there?
Yeah, that's right. So in talking to our clients, particularly our corporate clients, one thing that comes up in most meetings is the huge increase in the cost of freight.
Mm.
And we're not talking 5 or 10%. We're talking like going up by 2, 3, 4 times. So it's been a very large increase in freight costs. Part of that is that oil costs have gone up, therefore the cost of transportation. But it's probably more than that. it's really that there just aren't enough ships to move goods around the world. Now, to the extent that you call that cost push inflation, I don't think there's a lot that central banks can do about that. What they can do, though, is do something about demand pull inflation. So monetary policy is all about demand management. They can't manage supply.
So they'll often look through any supply-induced inflation.
Exactly right. So OPEC have still kept a grip on the oil market, and that's led to significant increases in prices. I think central banks are just going to more or less ignore that. But to the extent that consumer spending goes up a lot and that pulls up inflation, then that is something that central banks are certainly interested in seeing.
Now, over the next few months, we'll start to see some pretty impressive economic data, because 1 year ago was just so bad as a lot of countries around the world went into lockdown. So we're going to have some pretty impressive base effects. Central banks won't get carried away by this, will they?
No, that's right. But market participants can, particularly for economic data that is usually looked at a point in time a year ago.
Yep.
That's where I think some people may fall for that trap. Central bankers in recent speeches have more or less said, we're aware of this. We know there'll be some temporary impacts, like the oil price impact, for example, and we're just going to ignore it. So, look, I don't think it will be a major mover of markets, given the guidance from central banks. But you never know. You can go through these periods where market participants misinterpret what the central bank is saying.
We've been there before, we'll probably be there again. So let's focus on some of the central banks that you've included in your note at the moment. When we think about what central bank is most likely to have to tighten monetary policy first, what comes to mind?
It had to be China. China had went into the recession first, they came out first, and as of right now, their economy is materially larger than it was this time last year. Only New Zealand is a long way behind in second.
Mm.
So, if anything, it'd be China that will go first. But look, I can't see them moving this year, and even next year, I think that's probably too early.
I guess one that always is front of mind for everybody is the U.S. Federal Reserve. What's the current thinking about when they may start to maybe even take their foot off the accelerator, rather than put their foot on the brake?
That's right. Yeah, you're right. There are two pedals to monetary policy. I think the earliest that they'll start tapering the asset purchases is at the end of this year. The earliest I think that they will start reducing the size of their balance sheet is probably the end of next year. And that kind of leaves the end of 2023 as the earliest for when they'll start increasing the funds rate.
And it's still a long time away.
That's right. If a week is a long time in politics, and 3 years is an eternity in financial markets.
It is. And I guess what about on the other end? What are some of the central banks that are probably a long way off, even further off than the Federal Reserve from starting to tighten policy?
Well, if there's one bridesmaid in the marriage of tighter monetary policy, then that's got to be the Bank of Japan.
Of course.
There was some time, almost two decades, probably more than two decades ago now, where they did tighten policy by a little bit and quickly unwound it.
Yeah.
So, look, we're pretty comfortable in calling BOJ not tightening for a very, very long time.
Joe, appreciate your insights on the central bank outlook. It's certainly been an interesting time to monitor what central banks are thinking given recent market performance.
Thanks a lot, Belinda.
Now, you can read Joseph Caperso's note on the central bank outlook. Increases in short-term policy interest rates unlikely, and that was published on the 2nd of March 2021 on combankresearch.com.au.